Hello and welcome to My Career in Data, a podcast where we discuss with industry leaders and experts how they have built their careers. I'm your host, Shannon Kim, and today we're talking to Gloria Zukiskaita from Innix FinTech.
Visit dataversity.net and expand your knowledge with thousands of articles and blogs written by industry experts, plus free live and on-demand webinars covering the complete data management spectrum. While you're there, subscribe to the weekly newsletter so you'll never miss a beat.
Hello and welcome. My name is Shannon Kemp and I'm the Chief Digital Officer at Dataversity. And this is My Career in Data, a Dataversity Talks podcast dedicated to learning from those who have careers in data management, to understand how they got there, and to talk with people who help make those careers a little bit easier. To keep up to date in the latest in data management education, go to dataversity.net/subscribe. Today, we are joined by Gloria Zukiskaita, an advisory board member at Innix FinTech. And normally, this is where a podcast host would read a short bio of the guest. Gloria, hello and welcome.
Hello, Shannon. How are you? How was your week?
Ah, so far so good. And you?
Oh, very dynamic and very lively. So yes.
Oh, good. I so love far that as answer. Well. what does dynamic mean to you?
Well, lots of meetings, lots of networking, learning lots of things and lots of debates about the industry, about AI, again, evolution, about the data. Yes, definitely lots of action.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so let's get into it then. So you're an advisory board member at Innix FinTech. So tell me, what type of business is Innix FinTech?
Innix FinTech is actually a consultancy providing advisory and intermediary services related with private debt funding. And because in current economical cycle, there is a need for a variety of the institutional investors and variety of companies that might need that kind of services, pretty much a bunch of experts thought that this is really good market fit to launch it right now. And that's what the doing while specializing in energy and biotech, pretty much providing variety of the private debt funding options, and in particular, helping with intermediary and advisory part of it.
Well, interesting. So as an advisory board member, what is it you do?
My role is actually to advise Innix FinTech on go-to-market and product-related activities, from communication to marketing strategy, from digital presence to service positioning in the market, and leading through the implementation of the various initiatives related with the digital presence business.
So tell me, Gloria, how do you work with data in your current role?
Admittedly, data that I work with currently is mainly to do with social media, performance measurements, velocity of the team, market research, competitor research. And definitely this role is not as intensely soaked through with data as it was in my recent roles in the data product management, where I was almost breathing data, like data about data for more data. But nevertheless, there are still few aspects there. Really, these days, we use data on every single corner. And here there are a couple of aspects as well, from social media to the research.
Oh, fascinating. So, well, I'm anxious to hear all about your journey then. So let's back it up. So tell me, was this the dream when you were very young, say 6 years old? What was the dream then of what did you want to do when you grew up?
Well, 6 years old. 6 years yeah. old, I was in the second grade. Oh, dear God. I think I most probably wanted to go back to nursery and be a nursery supervisor and continue playing. That was my dream.
I love that. Yeah.
But yes, definitely that dream has mutated. Initially, I thought I wanted to help people, so I thought about social work. And then finally, when I felt in love with the research, analytics, and data, yes, I wanted to work in data from with all the angles of it. And actually, that journey continues for quite a while now, maybe 20 years. Yeah, something like
Well,
that.
let's, so then tell me, what was the first job?
Oh, my first job. Oh, dear. A first job after university.
Yeah.
okay. Right. Right. My first job after university was in social research, actually, because my master's was in applied sociology when, yeah. I felt, I mean, best years of my life, to be honest with you. I felt in love with research analytics, with all the analytical methods and all the postmodern philosophy theories and whatnot. And yeah, I shifted initially into the social research, but because in Lithuania, I struggled to live comfortable life with working in social research. So I decided to change not the career, but to change the country. So I moved to UK. And in UK, I worked, my first job was in Office for National Statistics. So again, social research. Then I shifted to market research and pretty much was working in consultancy for a variety of the market research consultancies, capturing data, analyzing data. Whatnot. In the end, I shifted to work on the client side as an analyst, so helping pointing out the errors in performance. And later, most probably around 2013, it was not enough for me to point those the finger at the errors, and I wanted to be much more hands-on in the change. And I could not make a decision. Should I go to financial analysis? That's why I studied CFA, or whether I should go to project management route. And to be honest with you, project management was at the time was fine. It was in research, project managing research programs and whatnot. Later on, being in finance as a project manager, but eventually I shifted into product management and data product management. So that's what I have been doing for the last 4 years, I suppose. So the variety of the data products from data platforms to CDP design, real-time data streaming, GDPR management tool, what else? Data integration platforms, you name it, like really exciting, and integration of AI, event-driven architectures, it really some fantastic stuff.
Wow, it's very fluid career. And then how did you become an advisory board member then and
Oh,
transition?
so yes. So whilst I was the business intelligence product manager, I was living at the time in Lisbon and I went to Web Summit. That was 2022. I came across Inox FinTech and they felt that I definitely could contribute with my knowledge and my experience, especially because I studied in business and analytics at some point, CFA, work and finance. So they felt there were synergies. And that's why they invited me to join and collaborate and help them out on the areas where I'm expert, or at least they feel.
Very nice. I love that. And you know, it even from the so from the get-go, your first job out of university, you know, is just so data intensive. I don't know, a lot of the community that a lot of the data community know how much data is in research, but maybe you can give us some additional insights. I know it's pretty, there's a lot of data collected and managed
Well,
for,
I mean,
yeah.
it's governmental. Well, at the time, there was a governmental institution. I don't think it even exists anymore. But yes, of course, it was like pretty much for managing all of the field work and capturing data from face to face, and then looking into this data inputs, data cleaning, data analytics using Excel and SPSS. But then again, we speak 2005, so I appreciate that tools have changed, market has changed a lot. Yes, and then pretty much drawing the insights to inform various regulations and so on and so forth, because this research in the first job were about health, about drug abuse, about a variety of the literally national health and national level problems, pretty much. So yes.
Well, very, very interesting. So tell me, Gloria, what's been the biggest lesson so far in your career?
Well, in my career, I suppose I don't have very particular specific one. There is one generic lesson that I've learned, but it very, very much applies to my career as well, which is that the only thing that is permanent is change, and that very much applies these days in the industries, in the job market, and with the expectation of having one job for the lifetime, we will have to live with the previous generations, right? So it's absolutely, unfortunately or fortunately, but it is as it is. And actually, I would like to quote one of my heroes, is Alice from Wonderland, right? Because she said it takes all the running you can do to stay in the same place. And it takes, well, if you want to get somewhere, you must run at least twice as fast as that. So what I mean, why I'm quoting her, because it is really learning and updating yourself becomes absolutely crucial to get anywhere and to initiate the change yourself.
Oh.
So because otherwise environment and all the setting will change, but without you. And then God knows where, how you end up, right? But yes. It's just this productivity is absolutely crucial. So I'm trying to follow her wisdom on that. And yeah, and to the extent my career reflects that as well.
Oh, it's such an important lesson, and so hard. It changes so hard. I think it's one of the things we all struggle with the most.
Definitely, 100% is just the conference that I mentioned before that I was this week earlier. It was one of the presentation was about the experiential events and data on experiential events, and we know FOMO, right? But instead of FOMO, they well M they changed to F, and it's fear of finding out. And actually, when you say that change is so scary, right? I've noticed that being in analytical roles a lot, because it's so much to realize. It's so much about taking response, not only about pointing out the errors, but also about people who are receiving feedback to accept it, to take responsibility for your actions and to change, right? It's huge. It's huge. And in that kind of a roles, of more often than not, it's data's fault. Data is to blame, even if data quality is pristine, even if it's up to the standard, high standard. It happens. It happens. It's definitely not an exceptional case. So yeah,
Yeah.
100% Shannon.
With a robust catalog of courses offered on demand and industry-leading live online sessions throughout the year, the Dataversity Training Center is your launchpad for career success. Browse the complete catalog at training.dataversity.net and use code DVTalks for 20% off your purchase.
How do you, so you talked about learning to keeping up on learning to help manage change. Do you have like a method? Is there a go-to that you use, or you just, have a lot of resources
Oh, definitely
to
lots of resources and whatever comes on my way. It used to be online universities like a Charles Sturt University, which would provide short courses. Then it was Coursera at some time, edX. Then the big universities also provide numerous courses. But then you follow the leaders in the LinkedIn, and most important, in my opinion, is to follow the right sources. You know, quality of information in all the senses is really important, because sometimes we make busy ourselves with the consuming information that is not necessarily very important, that does not take us forward, that does not add value to our lives or to our careers. But yes, to be quite disciplined in that sense, to think about long-term investment in yourself, I think this is important, and it's important to remind yourself about it.
Absolutely. So, Gloria, having worked with data your whole career, what is your definition of data?
Okay. It's such a simple on one side, right? And on the other hand, we can debate an hour for that, most probably, right? But I still would stick to simple as piece of information from facts to statistics, and somewhere in between character or symbol and insight. So somewhere there in between, meaningful enough to stand on its own, but still without interpretation, without adding the context. That's something that the following step should be insight, where it would add meaning to the context. So, yeah, I suppose, like, if I were to give an example, right? So, for example, temperature measurements show temperature current moment in the current place, right? But it does not give us thinking, it does not give us trend, it does not give us better view about the climate change if we don't do these measurements continuously. However, this measurement in this place and at this time, it's meaningful enough. It refers to this point of time and space. So, yeah, that's my opinion. What is yours?
I think you're one of the first person to ask me, but I've heard so many definitions. It is the pieces of information. I like one description of how it is a byproduct of the human condition.
Wow. Oh, that's beautiful. That really sounds
Right?
good.
Yeah.
But I mean, of okay. I would put into that category more things than just data, but okay, that's I may I quote you, or should I quote
Absolutely. Well,
100%?
I was paraphrasing from somebody else. It was one of the
Okay.
ones that stuck for sure that I really
Brilliant.
liked.
Brilliant. Really good.
Right?
Yes, 100%.
So tell me then, Gloria, do you see the importance of data management and the number of jobs working with data increasing or decreasing over the next 10 years, and why?
Oh God. This is a very interesting topic, and my reaction is like this is because data on it is contradicting. That's why, because there's so many different opinions on that. On one side, I see articles where they write that the need for the data analyst is decreasing, and understandably so, because there's so much automation out there. On the other hand, you see articles that say, oh, the need will increase and grow through the years. Also understandable, because there's going to be more AI and more ML, and interpretation of all of this data will grow also exponentially. So the aspect of the usage or operations of the data management most probably change in the people, in people's scope of work who work with data. But there's few interesting use cases that for me are extremely intriguing. So one of them would be most probably data governance and compliance, because, for example, AI cannot make moral decisions, even though legal AI tech is definitely on the hype, undeniable. But human supervision and intervention is absolutely necessary, because AI is not an entity. It's legally not liable, and it cannot make those moral decisions. So we cannot sue them, right? So that's one of the things. AI and machine learning, well, without a doubt, automation on the top of automation, right? But then there is the speed of automation and the level of automation, which will increase. I don't know when the AI algorithms will become self-learning, and well, when self-learning algorithms will become mainstream. And that is, we speak about different level of automation. Now, data and cybersecurity. Oh God, this is really interesting bit, and it's definitely here to stay. I think it's definitely will need many more people, because as cybersecurity specialists are saying, there's to create a cyber threat, it's so easy comparing to the cyber security tool that needs to counter that cyber threat. So, and yes, because of AI induced both of the sides, so it's kind of a rat race, so to say. So yes, I think there's going to be lots need. I think, yeah, cybersecurity is definitely the future. And well, some things like data quality, for example, right? Only human can tell what is good data, what is not. Yes, of course, we automate the how alerts for outliers, but even when data analysts see those data outliers, only they can tell, or speak to the stakeholders to find out whether this is wrong data or whether it's normal abnormality. So yes, there's still quite a while until, well, cool. I think people will outshine AI in terms of resourcefulness of solving problems, in creativity applying data in different contexts, and yeah, moral decisions for quite a while. That's my opinion.
I agree more. And I think you're the first person to bring up the cybersecurity aspect. But especially as, not all companies have gone digital and gone through that whole digital transformation. So, the more that that happens, cybersecurity, you're right, is absolutely vital. And as you say, data quality, those algorithms don't work. AI doesn't work if you've got a lot of bad data feeding into it.
Yes, 100%. And if we stayed on this topic, how much of the data do we have to train AI, and how much of the data can be digitalized? Because overall, AI is very uneven across all of the world, right? Okay, we take US, we take Europe, we take China, but then we have Africa or other regions, right? How much data is there that is not digitalized? Or even taking our existence, how can we digitalize smell? And so many other things. So it's normal that the data that is feeding AI is biased, but we have to be very aware in the scope and the scale of the decisions we are making on AI calculations. We have to be aware of all of these imperfections and take them into consideration with us. That's my
Yeah,
opinion.
very true. And oh my gosh. Mentioning, digitizing smell, like there's so much we haven't digitized yet.
100%, 100%. So and the smell is just one, maybe the more obvious one, but still, there's a lot. There's a lot of things that's.
So what advice then would you give to people looking to get into a career in data management?
Oh dear. I'm a person who believes that we, well, that we are all multi-talented. So it's very much about exploring that, being open. Because you say that my career is very straightforward. I don't think so. Because after being in analytics, I went to project management, right? And maybe initially there was a research programs, but then later on there were literally systems and cloud implementations and literally building apps, maybe for food tracking app, but maybe B2B2C e-commerce web platforms. So that was also there. So it's worth being open, because also we don't know what the future will bring. We don't know how fast innovation will be, where this will innovation will bring, what problems will it solve, and that we'll need to solve. So this is very, very important. And stay curious. You know, most probably if you are already in data, most probably you are curious, right, already. But yes, curiosity is really critical in learning, in growing, right? But yeah, in various other things, which keeps life fun as well, right?
And I'm smiling because it's become a theme in this podcast and discovering the commonality really between a lot of the data professionals is that curiosity.
That is true. That's I have to say, my master's for sociology, it gave me the right to be curious, because admittedly, I was born in the country that does not exist anymore, right? And in that country that does not exist anymore, you could not freely ask questions. There were so many unanswered questions. And yeah, so I've got this justification or the freedom to ask and why and to ask overall. That was an amazing gift.
Oh, very amazing gift, and I love that a lot. Oh, Gloria, it has been a pleasure chatting with you.
Pleasure, man. Pleasure was mine.
Well, thank you so much. And if somebody wanted to learn more about InXFintech, where would they go?
Well, we are on LinkedIn. Definitely they can contact me, and or well, Alvaro is one of the key guys there. Or just contact me and I'll forward introduce you, and they'll be very happy to hear from you.
And I have your LinkedIn URL, so I'll post that on the we'll post that on the podcast website as well. So,
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
oh, thank you so much for taking time. And to all of our listeners out there, if you'd like to keep up to date in the latest in podcasts and in the latest in data management education, you may go to dataversity.net/subscribe. Until next time, stay curious, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Dataversity Talks, a podcast brought to you by Dataversity. Subscribe to our newsletter for podcast updates and information about our free educational webinars at dataversity.net/subscribe.